have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And you're down for the count. You feel like life has thrown you blows, and God ain't been around. But I've come to encourage you to hold your head high. Know that God is in your corner now, more inner life. You are a winner. You just can't lose. Burn a chaos, more than a conqueror. Jesus in you. You are a winner. You are born to win. Burn a chaos, more than a conqueror, power within. You are a winner.
You are a winner, W-I-N-N-E-R. You are indeed a winner, my sister. Hey, good evening. Good evening. To God be the glory. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad to be sharing with you on this thankful Thursday. We give God the praise. We create a space right here for a winning mindset. Uh-huh, just like yours. A woman with a winning mindset is a woman who won't be stopped and doesn't take no as a final answer. A woman who is smart in the head, compassionate in the heart, confident in her walk, and she's focused in her thoughts. If you're not there yet, keep on pressing, my sister. You shall attain it. I do believe it. My name is Loretta Petit, and I am your host for the Loretta Petit Show, Women Winning at Life, from Ministry to Marketplace. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear God, we come now to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for your isness. We thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord God, for looking beyond all of our faults and seeing our needs. And dear God, we thank you for this blessed platform and this blessed opportunity. We're praying a special prayer for every ear that's listening today, that they will receive a blessing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for our wonderful producer, your daughter. We pray that you touch her mind, body, and spirit, and God, that you heal her, that you strengthen her, and that you make her visions vivid. God, we thank you tonight, Lord God, for one Jerry Royce, God, who is connected, who has made a way, who has, oh God, allowed. God, we thank you right now for the things you're touching him to do in this season. Father, we thank you for every listening ear. We thank you for every woman who shall even come back and listen on the review. God, we thank you tonight. We give you praise as we get ready to cross over into 2022. Oh, God, should your grace allow us, we want to say thank you in advance. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, listen, thank you so much, my friends, for coming to chit-chat with me, so to speak. I guess you'll be doing the chitting and I'll be doing the chatting. Okay, well, we thank you so much anyway. You know, as we come to a close of another year, many of us may be in a lot of regrets, things that we wanted to do, but because of our situation in the world, we could not get out and get that done. So we feel some kind of way about that, don't we? Yeah, we feel like, man, this thing really is cramped to my style. This COVID situation really held me back, slowed me down. I have the vision. I have the dream. I have the plans, but I can't get the women to come out. I can't get them to come. I can't get them to bring their spouses, their children, because everybody is afraid to some degree. And we don't want to use the word afraid so loosely, but some people are just concerned and being wise, right? Absolutely. So as we prepare to go into 2022, we have to, of course, take a look back and see from whence we've come. Not only be full with regret, but to be full with thankfulness. For there's so much the Father has provided for us. There's so much that the Father has done to cover us and to connect with us. Yes, we were, you know, so busy going to all of these different functions and events and things of that nature in the space of time that we could have been adding in a special prayer or an additional word study, a Bible study, or and I don't mean a congregational Bible study. I mean personal time. Just some personal time with God. Now, God doesn't want to eat up all of our free time. He never asked us to do that. He never, nowhere in the Word of God, he says, give me all of your free time. But he does, of course, want us to recognize his majesty and to, of course, honor him in that regard. So, you know, we have to slow down sometimes and take time with the Father. So to you who, of course, you've done that, you made that a part of your every day or your every week or your every month, I want to say kudos to you, hats off to you. The rest of us who may not have, and I'm using us because even though I have, I just always feel that there's more that I could do. So we want to say, let's remember God. I tell my father this all the time in this line of work that I'm in. I say, you know what? I can't do this without you. I just can't do this without you. And I need you to guide my hand, to guide my feet, to guide my speech. When you're in a financial field and you're trying to help people to help themselves, you're seeing more vividly for their lives and for their situations than they're seeing for themselves. One of the things I found that we do all too often is put ourselves on the back burner. Women specifically, we're nurturers, and we want to nurture everybody else. But when it comes down to what we have to do for ourselves, sometimes we don't put ourselves on the front burner. So when I talk about things like finances, like putting money aside for a rainy day, and here's a plan, not just haphazardly doing it, that works sometimes, not just arbitrarily saying, okay, well, I'll do it here and I'll do it there. That might work sometimes, but have a plan to say, in this plan, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold myself to this standard, and I'm going to do this at this time consistently. When we talk about long-term care, we're fast to say, oh, I have that on my job. But many of your jobs, you can't take it with you when you leave. And if you do, many times it's going to cost you two or three times more. When I talk about get disability insurance, because, you know, anything could happen. I know people that have been in car crashes and they can't walk for months. People that may have had some type of a head injury, and that knocks them out of the ballpark. Look at football teams. I was going to say look at the Saints, but this is not just a New Orleans thing. All of our quarterbacks were down. I mean, we had one major, and we had the others that tried to fill the shoes, and they were all injured. You know, we just had an awful season, y'all. We had an awful season this year, just saying. So you just never know when situation is going to hit you. And I can tell you some of the things that people have said. You know, I'm just trusting God. We all are. We're trusting God. But we have to always remember the word, too, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, and that the Lord said he's going to deliver us from them. But many times we have to go through them. So, you know, it's just things that we see for people, but they're not trying to hear it. They don't see it for themselves. Life insurance, you have to ask yourself, who am I responsible for if they pass away? Who am I responsible for? If they pass away, everything's going to fall on my shoulders. Am I ready for that? Am I ready for that? So when you're putting your sister or your brother or your child or your mother or your father or your husband or your, you know, whatever, in life insurance, yes, yeah, another bill you have to take on, but it's a plan that's in place for if that happens to them before it happens to you. That way, you won't be caught in a situation where you're ashamed and you can't really handle things, where you have to ask, beg, borrow, not steal, but beg and borrow, and maybe do a crowdfunding. And that kind of brings a little shame to your family's name and things like that. So, you know, there's a scripture that tells us about understanding and receiving Jesus Christ. It says, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. That principle comes over into the day that you hear the truth. Act on it. Don't just sit on it and say, I'll get to it. I don't know how I got off into that. Well, anyway, we're coming to the end of the year. You said, okay, before next year, I'm going to have these things in order. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure things are fixed, things are right. I have enough. Okay, so you have insurance. That's great. And praise God, I'm happy about that because that means that you have a mindset to do it. But do you have enough? Do you have enough to cover, you know, what it takes? Think about that. And do you have it in these areas that I just called out, because anything could happen? I'm not going to harp on insurance. That's not why I'm here. But I just wanted to say sometimes we just are not committed to what we say we're going to do, or we're not committed to what we need to do. And here we are now, December the 30th. And in this year, there are things that we said in January, even in February, that we were going to do before this year was out. And we have not completed those commitments. Or were they commitments? You know, if you got started, I want to applaud you. You got started. That's better than nothing. But if you did nothing, you really have to step up, sis. You want others to believe what you say. You have to believe yourself. You have to do what you say you're going to do. So here we are at the end of the year with regrets for things we did not get accomplished and thankfulness for the things that God has already done for us. Many never got COVID. You know, whether you have one shot, two shots, or three shots, that third one is a booster. Whether you have no shots, one shot, two shots, or three shots, you never got COVID, thankful. Your family never caught that sickness. That's something to be thankful for. And so if you did catch it, but you're still here to tell about it, that's something to be thankful for. You know, your finances never stopped. Your job never shut down. Something to be thankful for. My God. And if it did shut down, unemployment kicked right in, and you never missed paying a bill, something to be thankful for. So many times we just need to count our blessings to see what the Lord has done. My God, the song says, name them one by one. You know, I know you can't do that because you'll be doing nothing but calling out blessings. That's how much God has done for us. But, you know, let's make sure that we have a heart to be thankful. To mothers, especially of daughters. You see things in your daughters that really break your heart. Their relationship with you is crazy, tattered, torn, ripped, you know, marred, because you see things in them that you've already come through, and you don't want that to happen for them. So you try and warn them, you try and teach them, you try and tell them, and they're hard-headed. They want to go to the school of hard knocks. I know our sons do that too, but mostly our daughters, when we know firsthand because we're female and we've gone through those things and we're trying to teach them how to have that third eye, that discernment, how to watch for the red flags and how to obey the flags and not, you know, their overly romantic heart about some situations. So let's continue to pray for our daughters who willfully are going to the school of hard knocks and just don't want to listen. Some don't say thank you. Some don't say I apologize. Some don't even come out and say I love you, I appreciate you. Let's just hold them up to God. You know, as you can remember back in Roots, I think, they took the infant baby and they held the baby up to the sky to God. But we can't physically pick them up. But let's just have them on our minds, on our hearts, and just lift them, you know, figuratively speaking up to God and say, God, take over. You know, I've done the best I could with this young woman, and I don't want to cut all ties. I don't want to, you know, throw my daughter away, but God, you take over here and show me what I need to know from this point on. So at the end of the year, we have our thankfulness and we have our regrets. And now we're getting ready to start with a brand new clean slate. How many of you all have sat down and taken some time out to decide what it is that you want to see for yourself in 2022? How many of you have not? There's a lot of people that's going to wait until January 1st to decide what they're going to do with their year. Unfortunately, why are we in that mindset? Why are we last-minute people? Why do we wait until we see a bridge to decide how we're going to cross it? Why is that? Why don't we take time out to look ahead, to really hone in on what we want? Because when we don't hone in on what we want, let me tell you what happens. We see someone doing a great job in one area. You say, oh, I could do that. And then you decide, oh, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And then you see someone doing an awesome job in another area. And you think, yeah, I have a little interest in that. I can do that. I want to do that. So you see somebody else doing something marvelous, fantastic, and you're like, wow, that looks good. That looks great. Oh, I want to do that. So what happens? You're all over the place. My sister, we don't have to do it like that. We have one more day. Let's take some time to talk to the Father about the things of the heart. Where's your passion? You got to focus on where your passion is. What is it that you really, really, really want to see yourself doing, into developing, building, creating? What is it? There's something that's unique to you. It may not just be one. It may be two things. I don't know. Maybe even three. But you need to find that thing and say, this is what I want to see happen. I know we can always say, oh, I'm going to make a resolution. Hey, listen. Resolutions, if that works for you, fabulous. But all you've got to do is make a plan. That plan is not to declare it to the world for people to say, oh, yeah, and pat you on the back. That plan is to be decreed and declared that it shall be so in the name of Jesus. This is what I want. This is where my passion is. This is what I'm going after. Clean slate. Some of you may say, oh, I'm going to become a blogger in 2022. I want to talk about all these remarkable things that's happening around me that I've gone through, and all these awful, devastating things I've gone through. I want to be a blogger in 2022. I'm going to add that to my slate, and I'm going to take off these things that were not working. These things that I did in 2020 and 2021 that just were not working for me, they were not serving me well, I got to take that off the list. I've got to take that off the list. Take it out of my life. That's not working for me. You may say, oh, I want to write my book in 2022. Position yourself. Find somebody. Many times you go to some of these companies, and granted, they're worth every penny, but they're costly. And you may say, well, you know, I might not be able to pay this. I probably can't get this book. I'm going to try and do it all by my little old lonesome. And many times you can, but you make mistakes that you don't have to make, right? It is very, very difficult for you to not have an editor because you know words so well. You know, you might be a logophile. You may love words and you can put them together, but it's very, very difficult for even the most established authors to find their own errors. So that's why people that our writers have editors. They have people to come and edit. Sometimes they edit their words page by page or paragraph by paragraph, word by word, sentence by sentence. But sometimes you have that editor who designed your book with you by concepts. They say, okay, let's just take this whole concept and move it over here. It's going to flow better. It's going to help the reader to understand what you're trying to convey better. So you decide that you want to write a book. Get yourself in order. Find the order. You know, you can Google almost anything these days. You can look at YouTube, and they can walk you through your book and all that. You know, whatever the case may be, whatever you want, that's fine. But make sure that you have a team of people. It could be a team of two. It could be a team of 10. I mean, people that are on your team that will help you with some of the research. I think that the best books are books that have research in them. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a thought. Everybody can put words together and make a book. But the books that I find that really resonate most with me personally are books that have research attached to it. Tell me why I should care about your book. I mean, your book is about this thing that happened to me. Okay, your testimony. Okay, you tell me, it's a testimonial book. Gotcha. Oh, it's a daily read book to give you daily inspiration. I gotcha. But when you want to talk about you know, the single life. Give me some research on the single life. What have people gone through? What are some of their, you know, their top three issues being single and being single and being Christian? Tell me about the married life. Okay, what are some of the things that married women are dealing with? And who did what study and who did what research and found this to be so, you know, that kind of thing. So just a little research. Don't have to be a book of stats and statistics. No. That's going to be too boring. But just, you know, to validate some of your most important points in your book, have a little research and give credit to where that research came from. That's very, very important, okay? Just trying to tell you to line up with whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to write that book, that's what you need to keep in mind. And you may say, okay, I want to read more than my phone. I want to read more than my computer screen. Awesome. You want to read. Find a book club. I have been, you know, feeling in my spirit, we're going to go back to my book club. We're going to get that book club together, get people reading again, because there's so many wonderful things out there. I love reading novels. Even novels have research, y'all. Now, they don't give attribution to where they got the research at necessarily. Sometimes you may find it in the back of the book. Sometimes you may find a little footnote. But sometimes, you know, they just use it as a fact in their fictitious world. But it is some type of a research that has been done. Novelists do it all the time. They will research because the facts that they're giving you, they want to make sure they flow together with what really happens in real life. So it's very, very important. And, again, if you want to read more, you say, I'm going to read a book a month. I'm going to read two books a month. I'm going to read a half a book a month. I'm going to read just a chapter a week, or I'm going to something like that. That's great. I applaud that because, you know, reading is awesome. It really develops our word power and our comprehension when we start to read more. So if that's what's on your clean slate, if that's what you want to put on there, write that down. Connect with the book club. Create your own, whatever the case may be. Self-care might be on one of the things you want to put on your clean slate. I'm going to get back in touch with my regular scheduled doctor's appointments, or I'm going to make sure that, you know, I take care of my skin, I take care of my teeth, you know, that kind of thing, self-care. I'm going to take time to rest. I'm going to get away. I'm going to self-care. And I'm going to exercise, or I'm going to eat better, self-care. And finally, one of the things I wrote down that you may want to put on your list, I'm going to learn to play an instrument, piano or drums or violin, horn. I'm going to learn an instrument. I love music, so I'm going to learn an instrument, whatever the case may be. This is your clean slate. You do you. But remember, don't wait till January 1st to decide what you want to do with the year. Don't wait until then. Start now. You know, and at the top of your clean slate list, you tell yourself, I promise myself to do A, B, and C in 2022. And whatever you say on that, whatever you write on that paper, find things that will help you to line yourself up with these goals. Find things that will help you to line yourself up. Such as if you're going to blog, read other people's blogs, understanding what blogging is about. If you're going to write the book, find your editor, find your team. If you're going to read a book a month, find that book club that you can attach yourself to or other people that read that you can share with or start your own. Self-care, you know what to do there. You know, there's too much vainness and too many of us. We got to pray. So you know how to take care of you, but just make sure it's something that you do committedly. And exercise, eat better, and learn that instrument. Find a place where they're offering you lessons that are affordable. Some state-run or city-run places may offer it to you free of charge. All right, that's what I've got for you today. Happy 2021. Praise God for all of his wonderful blessings. And as I leave, I want to encourage you, don't feel so bad about the struggle that you've had to go through. I know we want what we want, and we want it now. But here is a quote, and I don't know who the author was, so it's an anonymous quote, but I want to share this quote with you about your struggles, about the hardships of life, about all of the challenges. This is so true, and is written in probably another kind of way than our understanding is today, because it's an old quote. But you get it, I'm sure. Just say it over and over again. A smooth sea never made a skillful mariner. So in other words, a smooth sea, if he never had a rough sea, he would never know how to be a skillful mariner, right? A person who can row that boat, not with oars, but of course, keep that boat afloat. So here's the quote once again. A smooth sea never made a skillful mariner. May God bless you. May God keep you. This is indeed my prayer. And never, ever let no one tell you that you're not worthy. You are a winner. Whether your winner is out front and center, your winner is deep down inside, you got to pull her out, or your winner is emerging, you are a winner. Know that. Hold to that. Know your worth. I heard Patti LaBelle say it took her till she was age 50 to really understand her worth. Hey, listen, my friend, you don't have to wait that long. Start to get into you. What makes you tick? What's your, what are those things that make you come alive? Find that. Understand that you deserve respect. You give it, you receive it. You don't take anything less. Know your worth. And I wish you a great, wonderful, and beautiful 2022. Let's do this again next week, and I hope that some of you have a chance to call in. I'm going to give the phone number and try and see how you turn the corner from 2021 to 2022. My name is Loretta Petit. You have been listening to The Loretta Petit Show, Women Winning at Life, from Ministry to Marketplace. And until next time, may God bless you. May God keep you. This is indeed my prayer. Bye-bye.
Me a while to get to this place. I'm so glad I made